You're listening to episode 24 of IDRA Class Notes.
When they have another teacher or another individual who has experience in teaching and has worked in the classroom, who comes in, gives them advice that is real life on the things that they have, the issues they're confronting in terms of classroom management, discipline, activities that are hands-on for the kids, that are learning activities, that when they have a coach or a mentor that they can turn to when they're struggling, that they're more likely to be successful in the classroom and they're more likely to stay in the classroom.
Welcome to the Class Notes podcast by the Intercultural Development Research Association. I'm Dr. Bradley Scott. And once again, I want to remind you that IDRA is a small organization with a very big mission, and that mission is to recreate schools to work for all children. I want to thank you today for listening. In this podcast series, we explore issues facing education today and strategies for teachers and administrators to better serve every student. By the way, we would love to hear your thoughts and questions and suggestions, and there will be details at the end of this podcast to let you know how to contact us. We also have set up an email alert to let you know when a new podcast episode of the Class Notes is available. And if you're not subscribing to this podcast, our email alerts can help you to stay up to date. Just go to our website and sign up. We would love to hear from you. Well, today our topic is coaching and mentoring new teachers, and we have with us today Dr. Linda Cantu and Dr. Adela Solis. I want to say hello to both of them. By the way, let me let you know that Linda and Adela lead IDRA's three accelerated bilingual teacher preparation programs that focus on high needs areas of literacy and mathematics. They developed IDRA's coaching and mentoring model. So we really do have the two experts with us today. I think you'll quite enjoy this important approach to professional development. Linda holds a master's degree in urban studies and a doctorate in educational leadership, and Adela has a master's degree in bicultural bilingual studies and a doctorate in education with a specialization in applied linguistics. So I do want to thank you both for being with us today, and thank you for taking time out of some very busy schedules to talk about what I think is a very important topic. I know around our nation we are looking for teachers and how do we develop new teachers quickly and well so that they can in fact serve our classrooms and the students found in our classrooms across the nation, particularly students whose first language is other than English. And so I want to thank you today for sharing with us some of your thoughts around coaching and mentoring. How are you both doing today?
Very well, Bradley.
Good.
How are you?
I'm doing very well. And let me just get this started off with this question that's been running through my mind. Why has coaching and mentoring become one of the critical ways of providing professional development for teachers and teacher preparation programs today? First of all, what is it and why is it?
Coaching and mentoring teachers that become new teachers have often gone through college coursework, professional development ongoingly. But one of the things that happen as they move into the classroom is they come across the real crux of working with kids, and it's in their best interest, and they have found that when they have another teacher or another individual who has experience in teaching and has worked in the classroom, who comes in, gives them advice that is real life on the things that they have, the issues they're confronting in terms of classroom management, discipline, activities that are hands-on for the kids, that are learning activities, that when they have a coach or a mentor that they can turn to when they're struggling, that they're more likely to be successful in the classroom and they're more likely to stay in the classroom because they have someone who is helping them through the crucial first and second years of teaching.
So Linda, are you suggesting that what they get in teacher preparation programs at the college level is not enough to prepare them to do the very things that you were just suggesting?
I think that is part, since I work a little bit in the training field and also I have taught some courses for teacher preparation, I think the answer to that is that they do get high-quality preparation, but I don't think it's enough. What teachers need to do is work in actual settings, and we know that the college setting is different than the classroom setting.
Oh, absolutely, sure.
Although there's a lot of field work in the built into teacher preparation, it's not always the same. So we know that from professional development literature that teachers implement strategies that work, strategies that research says are likely to turn around students when they can actually see it. And our model that we use around professional development literature is one where what we want them to do is see how practice is in the reality of their own classrooms.
Well, it makes a lot of sense to have new teachers working in real life situations with real students. And everyone knows that we have a very diverse student population, which means they come from a lot of different environments and experiences, et cetera. So it makes a lot of sense to have teachers in these real life situations. It also makes a lot of sense to have an expert teacher working with them, or as you're suggesting, Linda, someone to whom they can go when they have immediate questions or immediate concerns. But Adela, I'm wondering, in this process of coaching and mentoring, what immediate kind of support do these coaches and mentors who go into their classrooms actually bring at a given point in time?
Well, we've been able to, from experience, not from the research, see that the types of support that teachers can get are in three dimensions. One is at the emotional level, the other one is in the technical area.
When you say technical, you mean the actual pedagogical practices?
Technical in terms of how things work in the school. That's a very good question, Bradley. Technical in terms of these are the procedures that work in this particular, how things work in this particular school. Also, this is how the technology works in this classroom.
I see.
These are the textbooks that we are supposed to use. So all those procedural things that need to be in place on the first day and first year of teaching are what's described as technical support in the literature. And in fact, that's a very important part of what teachers do. By the way, our model that Linda was explaining, we do it two ways. We try to engage and support peer teachers, teachers that are already in that school where the teachers that we're supporting work. But we also get retired or other consultants that are no longer in the classroom but have been in the classroom and have very good experience, particularly in the area of bilingual ed. For example, we have consultants that used to be bilingual directors, and they were very much into the instruction of education, and that's how we provide the support. We provide the support with external mentors, and also we support and encourage the peers that are already there supporting those teachers. The other way in which we support them is through, obviously, in instructional areas. There's emotional, there's technical, but we say that the meat of the mentoring and coaching that we do is instructional.
So let's talk a little more about IDRA's mentoring and coaching model. And I know our time is running along quickly, but give us a little more information about IDRA's unique coaching and mentoring model. There's been a lot of coaching and mentoring going on for years. What's unique about the model, Linda, that you and Adela have developed here at IDRA?
Well, I'll talk a little bit about it and then let Adela expand on it. But one of the things we've done, and she has discussed that already, but we have looked, when we choose our mentors, to find people who are in that particular subject area. So if we're doing bilingual ESL, which is a big piece of what we're doing in our coaching and mentoring, we want to look at second language learners and students from other cultures who are in the classroom that are a diverse population, and help our new teachers learn how do you work with diverse populations. So really our coaching and mentoring model, even though we touch on math and science, or we may touch on language arts, the whole crux of it is, how do you take these subject areas and then apply it also to your second language learners in the classroom so that everybody is going to benefit from the teaching you're doing in the classroom? So we've really focused on working with the diverse population through our model.
Yes.
And so just secondly, just to say that, so our coaches and mentors that we've selected, we look at the subject area that we're particularly interested as in bilingual ESL, and we've taken only those individuals that we know have a lot of experience in bilingual ESL, whether they've been former teachers, whether they've been supervisors. We've taken those individuals and looked at the subject areas and say, how can you help them work with diverse populations in bilingual ESL and other subject areas?
Mm-hmm. Yes, I think that's very unique, and you might think, well, isn't mentoring in bilingual schools supposed to work where mentors are bilingual? And the answer to it, Bradley, is that the focus in mentoring in schools has been mostly, perhaps out of necessity, by matching a mentee and mentor by grade level. So we may have third grade teachers as a priority,
sure,
mentoring other teachers. In some schools where they'll say, well, the bilingual aspect of the training, they can get it through professional development. So that you may have mentors working the way we would like for them to work, really coaching each other on third grade reading or third grade matters, but the bilingual aspect of it, they're going to wait
elsewhere.
They're going to wait and get it elsewhere.
Yeah,
so we give it a very special touch by saying, by setting the criteria that we have in selecting our mentors. What we do that also may seem like something that all mentors should do is that our model is focused on sustained assistance in the classroom. That comes from IDRA's coaching and mentoring that we do through our sheltered instruction models, through our math and science models, where we help veteran teachers in the classroom. And that's very powerful. In some mentoring programs, sometimes because it's peer-to-peer and the peer is not always available to come into the classroom and stay there for sustained time, that doesn't happen. We suggest that our mentors stay there within between 1 hour and 3 hours.
Mm-hmm.
And I tell you that the principals absolutely appreciate that. They love it when we say our mentors, when they can, will like to spend some extended amount of time in particular teacher's classroom.
So this kind of mentoring and coaching clearly is something more than just times of reflection where the mentor and the mentee get together after teaching is done, and they reflect on what has gone on. You're suggesting that this, well, not suggesting, but actually saying that this approach brings the mentor right into the classroom with the teacher.
Exactly.
And in fact, do they do side-by-side teaching, and do they do observation,
exactly,
and
right,
demonstration,
right, exactly.
I mean, which
we would
is
like
a powerful
to start with
intervention.
The ideal. Allow me to demonstrate a lesson, or you demonstrate a lesson and I'll watch you. But we also do a lot of classroom management where we can come in on day one and say, let's see how we can rearrange your centers. Will you allow me to help you rearrange your centers? And they can say, I need more ideas. Can mm-hmm. you bring me some ideas? I'm going to email you a handout that has a diagram on how an alternative way of reorganizing your centers work. We would like to do that. Sometimes they'll say, well, I have a good idea. Can you co-teach with me? So we allow them to lead us, so that we can together, shoulder to shoulder, teach a lesson. And then what we do in all of our mentoring is allow some time for debriefing.
That's excellent. So in other words, I would imagine this is one way of saying that the future is now here. We've talked about transforming professional development from these traditional ways of doing it where you have workshops and push hundreds of people together, but now you actually go into the classroom with the teacher and work with that teacher's students, which is an excellent thing. Let me ask you both, who are the people who are the recipients of this program or that you select to be in this program?
Well, I'm going to talk about coaching and mentoring things going on. We have three, and now four actually, projects that were funded to us through the Department of Ed for Transitions to Teaching.
Mm-hmm.
In the Transitions to Teaching, we have alternative certification teachers coming into the classroom.
So from where?
From various other careers. So alternative
okay.
certification implies that these teachers were not previously headed in that direction, but may have been engineers, may have been doctors, may have been accountants. They have to have a BA in another subject and have been in another career to become an alternative certification teacher. So here I am coming from another career and I come into the classroom and almost from the first year I'm teaching in the classroom. So those are the one set of recipients for our program, the students who are alternative certification teachers.
Okay.
And those are the students coming into our program, and those are the individuals that we've been working with for the last almost 7 years in part of our transitions to teaching program.
So in a way, it does make up for what teachers that are going through alternative routes to certification may miss because it is an accelerated route, and they may not have the opportunity to do the preparation, the field experiences they need. Although from the beginning, the alternative certification model calls for internships where they're taking courses as well as working as an intern and first-year teacher. However, in the last couple of years, there are some difficulties because of NCLB requirements that sometimes teachers have already passed their exams and have finished the coursework but have not had the opportunity to start working as a teacher.
I see. And so you pull from all of those different kinds of populations then.
Right. But I also want to say that a second part of our coaching and mentoring that Adela is working on now and has developed in terms of curriculum, we often get requests from school districts because we've been doing our coaching and mentoring in this way. We are coaching and mentoring new teachers who are coming out of traditional routes, but the way we're doing it is we have a program where we help school districts prepare classroom teachers, work with traditional teachers as well. Because a lot of our coaches and mentoring that is going on in the classroom, those teachers don't have any experience either. They're being told, coach and mentor this person next door, but they are unsure as to how to be a mentor and for them to engage that person. I'm not here to criticize you, I'm here to work with you. And so Adela has developed a program where we work with new teachers, our teachers, seasoned teachers, to mentor even traditional teachers coming out of traditional routes.
Right. So that is something new, Bradley, working with new teachers that come either from alternative certification routes or from traditional routes. The opportunity we had this summer is to become a provider of a TEA-sponsored program for induction and teacher preparation, and school districts who have traditionally trained teachers and alternative certified teachers can go through the training that we created. We are one of several providers of novice teacher mentoring programs, and that's how we are also addressing traditionally and alternative certified teachers. We just finished this training model that I myself and others created, and we've delivered training in mentoring the novice teacher in two regions, and we are ready to spread that training in other parts of the state.
I would imagine our listeners, because this goes all over the nation, would also want to look at their state departments of education and see what kind of comparable programs they might have where you were talking about TEA or the Texas Education Agency. These same kinds of things I'm sure must be true across the nation. And I would ask our listeners to check with their own state departments of education to see what kinds of programs are being provided through their state education agencies to prepare teachers through alternative routes or to also support new teachers. I know our time is almost up, but I'm going to ask both of you, around this issue of coaching and mentoring, as a final thought, what in your mind would be one of the most important things educators, professionals, teachers, and administrators should keep in mind about the coaching and mentoring process, establishing it as a viable professional development tool on their given campus?
There are several things that I want to mention that resonate with me in doing this, and this is what the state expects. And what the state expects in terms of mentoring and coaching is that...
And that's here in Texas.
Before, and I think it applies statewide, that before we do mentoring and coaching, that we need to plan ahead of time so that our mentoring programs are systematic and rigorous. There is a statement that says, because you're a new teacher, it does not mean you're a good mentor. So making mentoring, systematic and rigorous program will go a long way in helping the new teachers in Texas.
Excellent. And Linda, a thought from you?
Only that I think that as we look at new teachers and we, that principals and administrators should incorporate a mentor teacher who is not a supervising teacher, who is a mentor. Someone that that teacher can feel comfortable going to with concerns, complaints. This is a mentor. This is a person who's helping me in the classroom. So I think that that is something that the principal and administrator should look at, because what we found is when they know that there's someone on campus that is helping me through the first year, and that they feel I can say what I need to and not feel threatened, this person is helping me, they're my friend, they're my coach, they're my mentor, and they're giving me good ideas. That's the kind of relationships they need to build between teachers, new teachers and teachers who are already in the classroom.
That's great. I can't thank you both enough for taking this time out to at least open up this this important topic of coaching and mentoring new teachers, as well as teachers or individuals coming from one profession into the profession of education. I want to thank you, and this should just be the beginning of a series of conversations we can have around the process of coaching and mentoring, and hope that I can count on you both to come back and have another discussion with me. To our listeners, I want to end this this particular Class Note podcast by thanking you for your time and asking you once again to feel free to contact us through our website in order to subscribe to our podcast series. Please keep in mind that we would love to hear your thoughts, your questions, and your suggestions, and that there will be details at the end of this podcast about how to contact us with that kind of feedback. I want you to take care of yourself, and until the next time we have a chance to get together over another podcast, I'll be looking forward to hearing from you. This is Dr. Bradley Scott signing off, saying have a great day.
Thank you for listening to IDRA Class Notes. For more information on IDRA and other Class Notes topics, go to www.idra.org. You can also send us your thoughts by email to podcast@idra.org or fill out the form on our podcast webpage at www.idra.org/podcasts.